Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. God's will. How many books have you read on that subject? Discovering God's will for your life, God's purpose for your life, God's direction for your life. It's pretty complicated stuff, at least if you were to walk into the average Christian bookstore, look around at the shelves, all the books that have been published on that subject, it would seem to be a very complicated subject. Boy, you could spend your whole life studying those books, trying to figure out what God wants you to do, and when you're done, you might not have done anything except read the books, right? You ever found yourself in that position? Spend more time reading about it than actually doing it? Christian publishers are kind of counting on the fact that you're going to do that. How to be a Christian father, mother, child, businessman, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, or how to please God in your daily life. Is that what the Christian life is all about? We're going to be talking about Christian vocation, Scripture's teaching on your vocation tonight on Issues, Etc. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Now, giving away a great book by Dr. Jean Edward Veith titled God at Work, Your Christian Vocation in All of Life. Our call-in number tonight, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Listeners with the best questions and comments will get that book, God at Work, Your Christian Vocation and All of Life, by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. Now, we realize that much of what you hear at night during the weekend are pre-recorded programs, but not Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, March the 25th, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is a regular guest. He's director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Colorado Springs. He spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you this evening, and especially on such an important topic that often does not get the attention that I think it really needs.
Do you think that if Christians understood the biblical teaching of vocation, there would be such a Christian clamor for the how-to, higher life, purpose-driven style of books?
I think that they would certainly be changing their tenor. Most Christians are puzzled about how to understand how faith goes to work in life, and often are looking for some kind of key or some sort of direction. But most of the books that we have out there are usually attempting to talk about God's will for my life as if this is something that we derive either from prayer or from distilling some Bible-based principles or things of this sort, instead of looking at vocation and vocational calling to provide the answers for those questions and issues.
Talk about the radical comfort and freedom that Scripture's teaching of vocation gives Christians. How would you explain that?
Well, I would first probably back up and make this particular point that is, it seems to me, one of the most astounding and significant points that we can make about the gospel. And that is, when we receive and live in the full sufficiency of the righteousness of Christ, there isn't anything more that we can receive in terms of God's plan of salvation for us than what we already have. But what we have here right now, in this life, all of the promises of the gospel are lived in by faith, and we mean by that, by faith alone, not just apart from works, but apart from experience. The fullness of salvation is when we get all the gospel gifts, and we get them in full, luxuriant experience. What this means, therefore, and this our listeners really need to take to heart, and that is this: God has you as his child fully and completely taken care of. Everything that you need, that your faith and life in Christ might be complete, has been given and bestowed to you in the promises of the gospel. And therefore, there is a tremendous amount of freedom that is there in the gospel. It is what one Christian thinker calls the hilarity of the gospel, and that is to hear in the gospel this particular question: now, what would you like to do now that there isn't anything that you have to do? And when it comes to the area of what it is that you would like to do, God invites us through vocation to turn our attention to our neighbor and our neighbor's needs, because ours are already met and secure in Christ Jesus.
So God has taken care of me so that I can take care of someone else and stop worrying about taking care of me, whether it comes to the things I need for faith in this life or the things I need pertaining to this body in life.
Very definitely. It is to say that in the gospel, we are totally secure in all of God's promises today, tomorrow, and forever. And with that security, there is only one other thing, it seems to me, that God created us to have, and that is a life in which there are some things that we might be able to do that are significant. And what I mean by significant is that they are things that have value, not just for today, not just for a moment, but for eternity. And vocation is where God honors and blesses us with works that we are able to do, in which Christ ultimately is served when we turn our attention to the neighbors that God gives to us and serve them. When we do those kinds of works, those are things that adorn our life with significance, and God honors us in being able to have that kind of a life.
Does God need our good works?
He does not. We're going to maybe get into this a little bit more, but when we think, of course, about good things or blessings that God brings to us or brings to all, we recognize that anything, of course, that is good that we might receive or that others might receive ultimately is that which comes from God. But when we think of vocation, and the word means calling, it means places in life where God actually uses us as a distribution agents, or as middlemen, you might say. He uses us as his instruments by which he distributes his blessings to others. He doesn't need us in that capacity, but he is pleased to use us in that capacity and thereby give us something that we can significantly do in life, something that matters.
So the Christian, the Christian doesn't do his works for God?
No, not directly. And this is probably difficult for our listeners to hear. There are two reasons, and neither of them are very flattering, as to why it is that we cannot serve Christ directly. The first reason is that we don't have anything that he needs. And the second reason is equally unflattering. Anything that we do have that's worth anything, he gave us. And so, therefore, Christ is pleased to direct our works and the blessings that God gives to us to be channeled outward to our neighbor. And then Jesus reckons that when that is done in faith, he reckons that as service ultimately rendered to him. So we serve Christ by distributing the blessings of God to our neighbors, that is, those to whom God has given to us to distribute those kind of blessings.
One other quick question before we go to the break with only about 30 seconds to respond. If God doesn't need my good works and I don't do my good works for him, do I need my good works? Do I do them for myself?
No, you don't. The gospel proclaims that all the good works in God's sight that we would ever need, and that really is the full requirement of the law, is that which is reckoned and imputed to us in Christ's perfect obedience. So we have all the works of Christ, and that is all that we will ever need as far as God is concerned.
All right, folks, let's get your reaction to Scripture's teaching on vocation. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, we get your questions and comments right here in the studio for Dr. Stephen Hine. issues, ETC, at KFUO.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. When we come back from this break, what was the medieval Roman Church teaching about the doctrine of vocation at the time of the Reformation? And what was Luther's scriptural response to that Roman teaching? I'm curious, we'll ask this on the other side of the break of Dr. Hine, how many different vocations he has. Stay with us. Dr. Arthur Just on what a young man will find every summer at Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It really does put him in touch with, first of all, a community of people here who love the scriptures, who worship together, who pray together, and who enjoy, have fun, you know, doing theology. There's just a wonderful excitement and passion for the gospel that is expressed by them. But it is a way of a young man to shape his identity as one who is in Christ and to learn the scriptures and have a real passion for the gospel.
For more information about Christ Academy, June 17th through the 30th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the events of Holy Week. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. How did Jesus spend the week of his crucifixion and resurrection? Why do the gospel writers focus so much time and effort and ink upon the events of that one week? And why have Christians called it Holy Week? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. Peter Scare. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of April, click the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at our homepage, be sure to find out more about Christ Academy. It's July the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men where they can explore the possibility of becoming a pastor in the future. For more information, give them a call, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, or look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about Scripture's teaching on vocation. Dr. Hine, what was the medieval Roman Catholic Church's teaching on Christian vocation before, at the time of the Reformation?
What developed through the Middle Ages and was there full bloom at the time of Luther was the understanding that the service that we would render to Christ is something that we render directly to Him. It involves a specific regimen of sacrificial holy works, usually those that the Church wanted to indicate were particularly meritorious in the sight of God and merited greater amounts of grace. They were things such as fasting, other forms of ascetic life, prayer, and things of this sort. And people could do these part-time, or they could do them full-time. And monasticism was for the serious Christian who wanted to go ahead and pursue this higher calling of holy life, and thereby achieve a greater communion with God. So monasticism became an understanding of the exemplary Christian life in which, on a full-time basis, you left your family, you left your workplace, you left your neighbors, and you went behind closed doors in a cloistered environment, and there, on the basis of a devotional life and various spiritual regimens, you served Christ in a direct way.
Okay, so that was at the expense of the Christian's real vocation. It sounds, this Roman Catholic teaching sounds very similar to what you might hear being taught and practiced in many American evangelical churches today.
This is true, and not just in evangelical churches. Sometimes Lutherans even have the problem, too. Sometimes we get this idea that whatever we're doing Monday through Friday is just kind of ordinary works that really don't count very much. But if we are carrying out a bunch of works that somehow the church has prescribed, maybe even the programs that the church has directed, these are the things that really count. The expression is often used whether a person is active in their church. And by that, usually it isn't referring to whether they go to worship regularly, but also whether or not they are serving in various ways that congregations or denominations have dreamt up to keep them busy. And these are understood as somehow the real higher special spiritual works that really have God's blessing, and we might add, often take us away from the context of the ordinary vocational responsibilities that we have in everyday life.
Is it the same impulse behind the monastic movement in the medieval church?
It is. I think there is always this spark in us, and Jesus had to confront it even with his disciples there in the upper room in John 13, where we're thinking that somehow if we have an extraordinary God, that the works that must really count in his sight must be extraordinary things that he is calling us to do. And this just is not the case at all. God has left the extraordinary work for his Son to be about. But for us, most of the work that he has given to us involves the day-in, day-out things that we do that serve our neighbors, where we live, work, and play. And sometimes we can refer to it as ordinary, dirty business of everyday life, like what Jesus showed his disciples in the washing of feet. I like to use as an example, as a good counterpart, as a quintessential work in the kingdom of God. If washing feet was the example that Jesus gave in the ancient world, maybe washing clothes in the laundry room in our homes would be a counterpart. It's amazing to think of the possibility that when the dirty socks are going in with the soap and fabric softener, the quintessential works in the kingdom of God are going down from God's perspective.
You call this impulse in churches today congregational monasticism. Is this why so many activities, church activities, take place throughout the week at many churches, keeping Christians busy, as though they don't have enough to do?
I think oftentimes this is the case. Oftentimes we think that a church is really alive and people are really, quote, terribly committed to their Christian faith and life. The more they become involved in programmatic elements that churches dream up. Often there is a monthly calendar and of events, and I'm not talking here about Bible study, and I'm not talking here about divine service. We're not talking about these events because this is where God serves us, not where we're doing the serving. But I'm talking about the other things that go connect in with congregational life that are often seen as higher works that do the same thing as what monasticism did, namely they take us away from the contexts of where we live, work, and play with the real neighbors that God has given to us and the real work that he has given for us to do according to the various offices or positions that we play in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplace.
So with only a minute here before we go to our break, at the time of the Reformation, what did Luther draw from Scripture that was different from the Roman Catholic teaching on vocation?
What Luther came to recognize, and he saw it in a general outline of the Ten Commandments, and that is that God is directing us in our life of faith toward our neighbor, toward serving our neighbor, and that the cloister actually took Christians away from the contexts in which we run into our neighbor and intertwine our life with them, whether it's in the home or the workplace or in our communities. So Luther saw monasticism misguided in two ways. Number one, it had people doing all sorts of works that did not have God's command. And number two, it took people, Christians, away from their neighbors, the actual people that Christ is calling us to express our faith through our works that would serve them.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about the doctrine of vocation. You can find several resources on Scripture's teaching of vocation under the What's New section of our website, including one written by our guest this hour, Dr. Stephen Hine. It's titled Luther on Vocation, Ordinary Life for Ordinary Saints. Issuesetc.org is our homepage. Look under the What's New section. So do you think that many churches today have too many activities that are taking Christians away from their vocations, from their families, from their work, from their neighbors, and keeping them busy doing all sorts of things that perhaps God hasn't commanded them to do? A modern form of monasticism? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's our in-studio email address. We're giving away the book, God at Work, Finding Your Vocation in All of Life by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, as we talk about vocation tonight on Issues Etc. to the best callers, emailers, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief invites you to attend the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April 30th through May the 2nd at the St. Louis Airport Marriott. Keynote speakers include Pastor Harrison, Tim Gagline, Special Assistant to President Bush, and Dr. Leo Mackey, who most recently served as the Chief Operating Officer of one of the leading healthcare providers in the U.S. On Tuesday night, a special banquet with entertainment provided by Jazzmax recording artist Aaron Bodie. Meet Issues Etc. regular guests Arthur Just, Beverly Yonke, Larry Rast, Gene Edward Veith, Uwe Simonetto, and more. Plus, we'll be there broadcasting live. Now, for more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. The LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd in St. Louis.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His word firmly and faithfully. Issues, Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you for letting me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues, Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues, Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 314-505-7825. Call today. Folks, if you appreciate the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues, Etc., please consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible gift. Anyone who donates during the Lent or Easter seasons will receive a two-hour CD with Dr. Norman Nagel on the Passion of Christ and with Dr. Arthur Just on the Resurrection of Christ. No gift is too small. Now, you can donate online. Our website address, issuesetc.org. You can donate by calling our resource line. It's 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check. Write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. So who needs your good works? Christians have an abundance of good works. That may surprise you because a lot of the literature out there on the Christian bookshelves seems to assume that Christians lack in good works, which is not what Scripture says. Scripture says, with the abundance of Christ's good works imputed to us, Christians are constantly busy doing good works. I've often said that Christians do good works for the same reason they go to the bathroom. They have to. It naturally comes forth, and they can't help but do them as they trust in the perfect sufficiency of Christ's good works. So who needs those good works? God? No. You? No. You have Christ's good works, remember? Your neighbor? Yes. He needs your good works. And your neighbor is all around you in your vocation. That's our subject for tonight. Dr. Hine, how many vocations do you have?
Well, I think perhaps maybe the best way of answering that is understanding that vocation means my calling. And within my calling, I have several offices. And an office is a position of service within a community that benefits those within a community. So we're using the word office in a classical sense there. In that context, I have several offices. I have an office as a pastor at Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran Church. I have an office as director of Concordia Institute. I have an office of husband in the context of my marriage. I have the office of father in connection with my children. So I have many offices, and notice how each of these has different communities which identify neighbors, and they also identify tasks by which I serve those neighbors. So I have several offices within my vocational calling.
All right. Coming back to the subject for a moment of the comfort derived from understanding how Scripture understands Christians in their vocation, this afternoon, what was God calling me to do? It was a little later this afternoon than normal, but it was take a nap. If I don't take a nap, I can guarantee if Wilkin doesn't take a nap, the Sunday night show does not come off very well. So as part of my vocation as a radio talk show host, I need to take a nap Sunday afternoon. I've learned that. A little later in the afternoon, yard work, teaching my daughter how to drive a car. Are those the kind of things we're talking about here?
They are exactly the kind of things. Notice also how you moved from an office in relationship to your life as a father in the context of your family to talking about things that you need to do in order to be a good steward in relationship to your radio ministry. One of the things perhaps that is so wonderful about understanding vocation properly, and that is this. When we think in terms of serving Christ and the neighbor's need, we do not have the responsibility of serving everybody, doing everything all of the time. We are only given a few neighbors, and those neighbors are identified by the communities within which we have our offices. And we haven't been called to do everything for everybody. We only have certain tasks and duties. And those tasks and duties are limited such that when it comes to the end of the day, we really can be done. And when we are done, then of course we can pick up some of our own projects that we may have some interest in.
You got more time than I do.
Because we have an interest.
You have more than time than I do, apparently. When the day is done for me, the day is done. Okay, we got a call from a lady several years ago when we were talking about Christian vocation. And she expressed the angst that I think is common among many Christians, male or female. She said her church had convinced her that to be a good Christian woman, she had to get up in the morning and first pray for an hour and study her Bible for an hour, over against. And she felt guilty because she had kids who needed to have their diapers changed. She had kids who needed to be fed and dressed and attended to. But she was torn between, but my pastor tells me I got to pray for an hour and study my Bible if I'm going to be a good Christian woman. And she would get upset while her baby was crying because her baby was interrupting her Jesus time. How would you respond to such a woman?
Well, it seems to me that pastor, though well-meaning, is really directing this woman back to some of the things that we talked about in connection with monasticism. And that is that somehow we're supposed to be doing an awful lot of things in our vocation that supposedly are serving God or Christ directly. And that just is not the case. We serve Christ through the neighbor, not instead of the neighbor. And when we think in terms of Bible study, does God want us to study our Bibles? Yes, he does. But there is an appropriate time and place for everything. God wants us to take time out that we might be refreshed by him, and it's one of the reasons why we gather together on a regular basis around Word and Sacrament, so that God may be pleased to serve us with his gifts and blessings. But this is not a service that we're rendering to him, it's a service that he is rendering to us. That's what the gospel is all about. But our outward directional thing is to be where we are to exercise good stewardship in relationship to the neighbors, and that includes our family members and our children. And these are the ones that he principally are calling us to serve, and he will reckon that as service ultimately rendered to him when that is done in faith.
Another listener story. This was an elderly man who approached me some years ago, having either heard, I think he had read an article that I had written on vocation called Focus and Locus or something like that. It's at our website under the What's New section. He walked up to me and he said, I have been a Christian my whole life, and I have lived with the constant guilt of that I wasn't serving God sufficiently, because all I did was I went to work, I worked my 9 to 5, I came home, I was very tired, helped the kids with the homework, spent some time with my wife, went to bed, woke up and did it all over again 5 days a week, and I felt like I wasn't giving God his due and serving him the way I was supposed to. How would you respond to this man?
I think this man is missing an understanding of what it means to serve God. When he is going to work, whatever that office involves at work, whether that's giving quality service to a customer, or whether that's working with clients, or whatever that is, those are actually the things that are the works, the fruit of faith, that when done in faith, are those things which ultimately Christ reckons as serving him. It is precisely those works that are done day in and day out in our workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, the ordinary, normal things that we even see non-Christians being about and doing. These are specifically the works in which faith is expressed in the Christian life, and in which, through that faith, Christ reckons a service to him. So he may think that these are works somehow that are taking him away from serving Christ, and I would want to assure him these are front and center, those specific works that Christ is calling him to do that he ultimately reckons a service to him.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Hine tonight on Issues Etc. We invite your phone calls and your email. We're giving away the book, God at Work, by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, on the subject of Christian vocation, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Sunday night, the 25th of March. Now, Easter's only 2 weeks away, and if you're looking for that getting close to a last-minute Easter gift for a young child, godchild, grandchild, check out the Issues Etc. book of the month for March. It's called Easter Is For Me. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order Easter Is For Me by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Easter Is For Me, it's by Dandy Daly Mackle, and it's the Issues Etc. book of the month for March, 1-800-325-3040. 3040. I got to finish the story about the elderly man, because while he said he had been burdened with guilt for all these years as a Christian, he was in his 70s. He said after rightly understanding God's teaching on Christian vocation, the guilt dissolved. He realized that all those 9 to 5s that he had done 5 days a week, and that time coming home, helping with the homework, spending time with the wife, then going to bed so he could do it all over again the next day. Suddenly he understood this in an entirely different way. These things had been done as a Christian man in faith. And while the world and many in the church wouldn't have counted it as service to God, he realized that all along, while trusting Jesus Christ, he had been serving his neighbor, his wife and his children. And suddenly that guilt that he had felt for all those years, he realized was entirely needless. When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation on Christian vocation with Dr. Stephen Hine. Dandy Daly Mackle, author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Easter Is For Me, talks about setting the Easter story to rhyme and verse for children.
Rhyme is fun. Kids love rhyme, and so do most grown-ups, but you can't rhyme down to a kid. Just because it rhymes doesn't mean they're going to like it. It's all in the rhythm, and I think that there's that same thing in us that lets us worship with music and remember by kind of breaking things into pieces. That rhyme does that. It just connects with something inside of us. A lot of stories have been handed down through the ages through rhyme.
For more information about our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Easter Is For Me, call Concordia Publishing House, their number 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for March. Easter Is For Me.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you.
You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You know, folks, this biblical understanding of Christian vocation is fundamental to how we live our lives in service of our neighbor, in faith toward God and in love toward our neighbor. It is exactly what the folks at LCMS World Relief are all about. They understand this completely. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief are providing Christ-centered, cross-focused relief for victims of natural tragedies like hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis, or man-made tragedies like the unrest in the Sudan. For more information about the efforts of LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief. Dr. Hine, a lot of our listeners are fathers with children at home. What is the father's primary responsibility, if we understand it as fatherhood as a Christian vocation, instituted and given as a gift by God?
I think the primary responsibility of fathers, and it relates really to all the members of the household, is that the father and husband is really the head of that household, as he is the head in his marriage. And that means that he has some primary responsibilities to look after the welfare and providing for his family, both in relationship to temporal needs and in relationship to spiritual needs as well. So it is particularly fathers who have a special role and responsibility to see that their children are raised up in the fear of the Lord, in the faith into which they are baptized, and working to become nurtured in their vocations that God is giving to them, even while they are children within their households. Most children are going to find out who their neighbor is and what the works are that their children are serving Christ through their neighbor in those particular works that come to the children under the command of the father. So when the father tells the son, it's time to take out the trash, it's Wednesday night, that son is actually taking out the trash of the Lord Jesus because he is serving the other members of his household in faith, and thereby Christ is reckoning that as service to him. So the head of the household and the husband and father is the one who actually orchestrates the various vocational elements of the offices of all the other members within that household.
So are you saying that a good work doesn't have to be done within the confines of a church building or even under the auspices of a church or a parachurch organization?
Generally speaking, when we think in terms of the location and context of a Christian's work, we are thinking of that in the context of the world. And by that I mean those particular temporal orders and communities where we live, work, and play, not the congregation or the church buildings. Those buildings and that particular thing that we call a congregation is created largely so that Christ might bring his gospel in word and sacrament to us in the context both of divine service as well as in the context of catechesis and the teaching and learning of God's word. We go to church not to serve God or to serve Christ, but we go to church, and its principal role for being there is that he might serve us. I like to think of it this way. There ought to be a sign over the nave of the church when we go in that says, sit down, shut up, and get ready to be served by Jesus. And then there's a sign when we leave, and that sign ought to be saying, now go out and serve Christ in your neighbor's need, because your neighbor is going to be found outside there where you live, work, and play.
Richard in Bloomington, Indiana writes this via email. As you mentioned, many churches, Lutheran included, put their focus on social programs. Really, the purpose of the church is to freely give God's forgiveness through faithful preaching of the Word of God and faithful administration of the Holy Sacraments. With the forgiveness of sins, God gives us good works, which we then do for our neighbors. If we do not understand the function of the church, that it is to forgive sins, we cannot understand or fulfill our vocations. Your thoughts there, Dr. Hines?
Oh, I think he has said it so wonderfully. It is precisely the gospel gifts that brings to us the sufficiency in our Christian life, in the promises and in the grace of Christ. And those are the things that free us up to turn our attention to our neighbor and our neighbor's needs. And if our needs are not being met, if God is somehow being short-circuited because those elements are not central in our church, then, of course, the whole order of things gets mixed up. But it is when we think of a healthy Christian life where we are living and growing in the promises and in the forgiveness that we have in the gospel, that then we are freed up and excited and energized to then express faith, not only in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, but also in those works where we live, work, and play, serving our neighbor as God gives us those tasks and opportunities.
Dr. Hine, finally, you know, it's Sunday night. Many of our listeners are just dreading tomorrow morning, getting up for hard work, for a job that is mundane and a week of that. And they're thinking, God can't be pleased with this silly job. I don't even like this silly job. What comfort can you offer these people?
Well, the first thing that I would want to tell them is that, you know, from God's perspective, what he really wants to do is he wants to bless us all, Christian and non-Christian. And he certainly doesn't need any one of us in order to do this. But he is pleased to use us as his instruments to go ahead and distribute those blessings to our neighbors. And on Monday morning, you get to see some of the neighbors that God is calling you to serve, and you get to understand how he is using you as a conduit to bring those blessings to your neighbors. And even though maybe you can't appreciate it right now, you need to believe this, and that is that your Lord Jesus Christ is going to be seeing those works that you are going to do tomorrow morning, Monday morning, as works that are going to live to your glory for all of eternity. And that puts an eternal perspective, I hope, on those things that he is giving us to do, even if we find them repetitive and even if we find them not particularly very exciting. Nevertheless, he finds them incredibly exciting. So whatever it is you have to do Monday morning, think of it, listeners, of what you're going to be doing tomorrow morning, and then stack that up with the work that Jesus considered the quintessential work for us to understand vocation, and that was the washing of feet. How does your work stack up with the washing of feet? Jesus thinks the washing of the feet is just the greatest. That provides, it seems to me, a bit of a perspective that he wants us then to grow on as we look at the works that he has given for us.
Richard, if you would send us your mailing address, we're going to send you the book, God at Work. Thank you very much for your email. 1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal, or you can also use that number to make a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. 1-800-737-0172. And as a way of saying thanks, we're going to send you a two-hour CD on the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117 is our address. No gift is too small. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. All of this stems from understanding what Christ has done and what his work for us was and is. What Christ did was come in human flesh and live a perfect life, a life that is perfectly pleasing to God in every way, perfect obedience to God in every respect. And he lived this life for you. He laid down this life at the cross for you. He paid the price for all of your disobedience and your sins, and he rose again for you. Now, you come into this world and you've got 65, 70, 80, maybe years to live. And Christ has already done everything for you. There's nothing more you can or have to do. So I think Dr. Hines' question is great. What do you want to do now that you don't have to do anything, now that Christ has done everything for you? Look around you. Your neighbors, they need those 65, 70, 80 years. Christ has done all for you. Now you can give your life to your neighbor. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how, in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. And a lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.